Welcome and God bless. Thank you for joining us on our Victory Outreach Church of Tacoma podcast. On behalf of Pastor Eric and Sister Jessica, we want to thank you for tuning in. For more information on the church and upcoming events, please visit us at votacoma.com.
We're going to read just a few verses. We're going to read verses 1 through 6. And this morning, I'm going to speak to you a message that I like to revamp and preach, I would say, about every other year. And you'll see why in a moment. This is a message that God gave me years ago, but I feel like it's a message worth reiterating, because how many know we need to stay focused? Amen. Genesis chapter 11, verse 1 through 6, the Bible reads this. It says, "Now the whole world had one language and common speech. As people moved eastward, they found a plain in Shinar and settled there. They said to each other, 'Come, let us make bricks and bake them thoroughly.' They used brick instead of stone and tar for mortar. Then they said, 'Come, let us build ourselves a city with the tower that reaches to the heavens, so that we may make a name for ourselves. Otherwise, we will be scattered over the face of the whole earth.'" Now this is where I want to focus on. "But the Lord came down to see the city and the tower the people were building. The Lord said, 'If as one people speaking the same language, they have begun to do this, then nothing they plan to do will be impossible for them.'" Bow your heads and close your eyes with me, please. Let's pray one more time. Father, in the name of Jesus, I'm asking you to move and minister to our hearts. Allow me to communicate this word the way you gave it to me this morning. I'm asking, God, that you would allow us to understand the principle of teamwork, and that you would allow us, Father, to think in unity so that we can accomplish whatever it is that you want for us individually and collectively. We thank you, God, for what you're doing and who you are. We give you honor. We ask you, God, remove every distraction. Be with us for the next few moments. In Jesus' name, we all say, amen. This morning, you may be seated. Worship team, thank you. This morning, I want to spend a few moments talking with you on the topic of teamwork. Someone say teamwork. Let me know that anything that is great was normally accomplished with the team. And, we have just started. The National Football League has officially just started. And how many Seahawks fans do we have in the house? That was your one opportunity to shout for them. How many Seahawks fans do we have in the building? How many love football? All right. Well, every year at the end of August and the beginning of September, the National Football League starts its regular season, and 32 different football teams play against each other in an attempt to win what's known as the Super Bowl. Now, in the NFL, it is a player's job to stay healthy, train, and perfect their craft. And it's the coach's job to develop, strengthen every player individually, and somehow get those individual players to play together to win. Someone say win. Now, before the season starts, coaches and their staff spend countless hours watching film, and they are looking for players that they can add to an ultimate team. So they're looking for players. Now, at the beginning of a season, a roster can look intimidating. You can read the names of many superstar players. But anybody that loves football and knows and follows the game of football will tell you that rosters that look intimidating really do not mean a thing. The reason why is because you can have the best players on one team. You can have multiple superstars on one team. But if those individual superstars do not understand teamwork or know how to work together, their efforts will not make it till the end. Because only teamwork, only unity, Only people that are all in can endure adversity when it really hits. You can have the best players in the world on one team, but if that team fails to play together, they will fail every time. I mean, know that teamwork makes the dream work. Michael Jordan once said, talent wins games, but teamwork and intelligence wins championships. I read a quote that I really liked one time. It says, if you want to go fast, go alone. But if you want to go far, go together. You see, teamwork divides the task and multiplies success. And this morning, I want to speak to you for a few moments on the topic of teamwork. Because you see, anything or any great ambition usually depends on people working together to accomplish that task. When you look at every great company, when you look at every great sports organization, when you look at any great successful school, you would find that people come together, and when they work together, they have success. See, a vision may be given to one man, but to realize that dream, that man will have to learn to depend on other people and work with them to accomplish a task. Are you hearing me this morning? When you look at what the actual definition of a team is, the definition is this: it's a group of persons working together to accomplish a common goal. Now, when you look at the scripture we opened up with, we see one of the greatest examples of a group of people working together to accomplish a specific goal. The Bible says that the people came together and said, come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower whose top reaches the heavens. They said, let us make a name for ourselves. As they were working, the Bible says that it caught God's attention. And he came down from heaven. Now, when God comes from heaven to earth to look at what somebody's doing, how many know that must be a great thing? Listen to what the Bible says. It says, and the Lord said, God took notice of their work. And the Bible tells us that God came down to see the city and the tower that they were building. And after he watched them, and I don't know what it was like, but I would imagine that God watched them for a second. He watched them working together. He watched them building this building. And then he said these words: if as one people speaking the same language, they've begun to do this, then nothing they plan to do will be impossible for them. That is a very heavy phrase, because what the people were trying to build wasn't even to glorify God, but the fact that they worked together, God took notice and mentioned that if they worked together, nothing would be impossible for them. See, when you look at the great qualities of a team, it was found in this scripture, and I want to point them out this morning. Because in order to operate as a team, there are specific qualities a team has to develop if they are going to succeed. The first quality of a great team, number one, is unity. Someone say unity. He said, if as one people. See, one means agreement, alike, common, and even a common focus. His statement points to the quality of somebody focused on something specific. There was a poet that once said this: unity is strength. When there is teamwork and collaboration, wonderful things can be achieved. Now, in order for any team to succeed, how many know they got to be united? Right? The problem with trying to build unity is this: unity does not just happen. There are specific things that you have to do to maintain unity, right? Especially when you're working with people from different backgrounds, you're working with people that have different mindsets and different goals, right? It takes work to maintain unity. But in order for unity to happen, there's a few things that must happen. Number one, for unity, there must be a humble attitude that is developed within every individual player if there's going to be unity on that team. See, building unity doesn't begin with a certain kind of technique. It begins with a certain type of heart. An unselfish heart. An authentic heart. A heart that desires the best for other people above themselves. See, building unity, again, does not begin with a certain kind of technique. It begins with a certain kind of heart. And in the middle of the season, you will see there are certain teams, they start operating on all cylinders. But what you have to understand is teams don't just one day start clicking and working together. When you see a team working and operating the way they should be, it's usually because the players have realized we have to have a humble attitude and stay focused. You know, many of you may know, you may not know, and I try to keep it under wraps because I still want you to like me. But I was born and raised in San Francisco, and quietly I am a 49ers fan. It's all right. Come on. I like you. We're in this together. And I'll be honest with you. The type of players that frustrate me are the type of players that have big mouths. I don't mind players that talk. I don't mind feisty players. I don't mind players that say things like, don't throw it over here. If you've ever played football with me in particular, you know that I can talk a little bit. I don't mind feisty players. I don't mind players that want to win. But what bothers me are prideful, arrogant players that can't see past their position. And I'm going somewhere. Now, many of you know that Richard Sherman now plays for the San Francisco 49ers. And I won't lie to you. I didn't like Richard Sherman. I respected his game. And I was like, man, this man can play. But I hated the way he talked to people, right? Remember his antics? And everyone learned to respect him. You either loved him or you hated him. I kind of hated him. But recently, they did an interview with him, and he's a whole nother player. Something I think happens to you once a team trades you away, right? And this is what they said. They said, Richard Sherman, what message would you like to send to the fan base? And you know what he said? Shocking to me. He said, stay humble. Be quiet. Don't say a word. Stay humble. No, I say it again, stay humble. And for like 3 minutes, all he kept telling them, listen, stay humble. When they talked about us, it's okay. Stay humble. Something changed in this man's attitude. Are you hearing me? And you know, quietly, last year, he had one of the best seasons statistically. But what you have to understand is this, that when people make a shift and they stop caring about their individual success, and they start focusing on the common goal, and they're willing to sacrifice to see other people get ahead, something special happens. And this is a principle that the Bible tells us about. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 2 and 3, it says, with all lowliness, someone say lowliness, and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit with the bond of peace. See, the scripture mentions different attitude we must have in order to maintain unity. In other words, what the scripture is telling us here with lowliness, and lowliness is not something we talk about much. It's not a word that we use about much, but the concept can be seen within mature believers. Because someone that's lowly has a humble attitude, and they behave a specific way, and they're willing, watch this, to take the low suited position or rank for the sake of making other people successful. Amen. The word lowliness means to be humble in attitude or behavior, suited, watch this, suited for a low rank or position. That's a biblical concept, because how are you suited for a low ranking position? Only a person that understands their worth, only a person that understands the big picture is willing to walk in lowliness, even if it means someone else getting the limelight. But in order for unity to happen, you got to be willing to let someone else shine in order to accomplish the task. Are you hearing me? See, most people have a natural tendency to take the best place and let others fend for themselves. It's human nature, right? You see this with children, for example, right? Buffet lines, come on somebody. Buffet lines. There's usually some people, they want to get in front right away and they want to get the best piece of chicken.
The big piece of chicken. Come on, somebody. Right? You know what lowliness looks like? Lowliness looks like, I know that all the good pieces of chicken are going to be gone, but I'm going to wait and I'm going to settle for the burnt wing. Come on, somebody. At the end of the day, I'm still going to eat. Right? But naturally, people have a tendency to find the best place, the best seat. Society has kind of shaped our children to think that way, right? But a characteristic of being lowly is when we're selfless. Being selfless sometimes means this, and I love this, stepping aside to affirm someone else's value and putting them above ourselves. When people start stepping aside their agendas for the sake of affirming someone else's value, something happens within the nature and the culture of whatever organization you're working in. Are you hearing me this morning? See, this type of attitude on a team, in a team setting, will build unity, and watch this, it will diffuse any type of drama. When people are no longer fending for the best place and they're willing to take a lowly position, and we understand our role, we understand our strengths, we understand what we're good at, right? I won't lie to you. I'll get out there and I want to play football. Throw me the ball. And I'm not the fastest guy in the world, amen? And when we want to win, don't throw it to me, throw it to him, right? But we got to learn to be lowly in heart. So in other words, in order for unity to happen, the first thing that needs to happen, we need to develop a humble attitude in order for unity to maintain. The second thing that must happen if unity is going to be a priority in any organization or a team, watch this. Unity is best seen when everyone has an all-in mentality. Having an all-in mentality keeps us from doing our own thing and working as lone rangers. An all-in mentality reminds us that others are depending on us to do our part. An all-in mentality teaches us to think on the success and the well-being of the person next to us. Romans 12:4 says, "For as we have many members in one body, but all members do not have the same function, so we being many are one body of Christ and individually members of one another." Now, if we are one body and individual members of one another, then that means we are interconnected. And if we are interconnected, that means that what I do affects you and what you do affects me. Are you hearing me this morning? See, unity is usually broken when someone on the team no longer does their part. Are you hearing me? Listen to me. If you want to break unity on your team, in your marriage, or even within your friendship, stop giving your all. If you want to break unity, there is no quicker way than to break unity than to not give your all. You know that sometimes it's hard to give your all, but this is where we have to remember that the goal is unity. So in order for unity to happen, we have to have a humble heart. We have to have an all-in mentality, and the last thing that must happen in order to have unity, especially when working with people, we have to rid ourselves from all our personal prejudices. Heavy, heavy stuff. Prejudice isn't just racial. Listen to what the actual definition of prejudices are. It's to have an unreasonable feeling, opinion, or attitude towards someone or something. It's to judge prematurely, to have a hostile opinion or judgment about a person out of irritation, suspicion, or hatred. And if we're honest, we have all had certain prejudices. Again, I'm not talking racial. I'm talking where we make a predetermined decision about somebody because of what they did. But we as Christians need to learn to overcome our personal prejudices towards people. Sometimes we allow the smallest things to keep us from engaging with people because we don't like how they did something. Right?
When the truth is, what they did is not a bad thing. We just irritated based off of what they did. And because they irritate us, we don't want nothing to do with them. Right? But if I'm talking about building a church, for example, of unity, we got to break down all the barriers. We got to break down all judgments. We got to learn to look at people the way Christ looked at people. With shortcomings. With issues. Because truth be told, we all got them. We all have hang-ups. And when we rid ourselves from... Listen, teams have to rid themselves of prejudices. Teams have to be willing to accept different coaching styles if they're going to win championships. Because you're talking about a group of people coming together with different philosophies, different mindsets for the sake of winning. But when winning is the strategy and winning is the goal and winning is the focus, it's not hard to let go of some of the prejudices. Are you hearing me? We cannot allow our different, and I bring this up to say this, we cannot allow our differences to cause a divide in our organization, in our houses, and at our workplace. The Bible says that a house divided among itself will not stand. Our purpose should be greater than our prejudices. So again, in order for unity to happen, I bring all that stuff to say this. Unity is one of the great, one of the qualities on a winning team, but if unity is going to happen, it's going to take hard work. It's going to take effort. But every great team that has succeeded has had the quality of unity. The second quality of a team, of a great team always has, number two, great communication. What did God say? If as one people, unity, together, oneness, he said, if as one people speaking the same language. In other words, what he was talking about was their communication. Communication plays a huge role in the success of any team. Without good communication, a team will grow frustrated. This is what happened with the people in the Tower of Babel. The Bible says that after God noticed their selfish, righteous act, all he had to do, watch this, all he had to do to stop their great work was interfere with their communication. Come, let us go down and confuse their language so that they will not understand each other. All God had to do to keep them from accomplishing their goal was disrupt their communication. If the communication of any team is broken, that team will eventually fail. And let me just say this, married couples, we need to learn to be proactive in our communication and in our listening. In order for a marriage to succeed, how many know that we got to consistently work on communication in different seasons, right? Communication is key in every relationship. Why? Because the depth of every relationship is really built off of agreements and boundaries, right? You got to agree. The Bible says, how can two people walk in the same direction unless they agree to do so? You can only agree on something when you have communicated. People often get hurt when somebody starts giving more than the other and then one doesn't give as much. There is a disruption in communication and relationship, and normally people grow separate and there was a withhold. Why? Because we never agreed in the direction that we were going. Are you hearing me? I know many of us have heard that saying. Just raise your hand if you've heard that saying. Everything rises and falls on leadership. Right? We've all heard that. Well, the same person who wrote that quote also wrote this. Leadership rises and falls on communication. As a team, we have to learn to communicate with one another about how we feel, what we're going through, what we're thinking. And when we do not communicate truthfully, listen to me, when we don't communicate truthfully, we leave room for insecurity and question. I was reading an article on effective teams, and one of the things that I read was this. It said, effective teams pride themselves on open communication. It also mentioned that ineffective teams were marked by gossip, hidden agendas, and something that they called guarded communication. And what they characterized as guarded communication was when there was some sort of boundary, whatever organization, whatever relationship, where people felt they couldn't be honest with how they really felt. Are you hearing me? In order for a team to perform at the highest level, the people on that team must learn to listen to one another and learn to validate what each person is going through. Are you hearing me? Now, you got to be careful with this, too, because sometimes, you know, you start listening to everybody, the whole work will stop because we got to listen to somebody's problems. But what I am saying is there should at least be communication lines always open, right? You hear some of the great coaches. They have conversations with their players, and their players can come to them. But if their players come with them with an issue, they got to understand that that coach will probably tell them the truth, not only about what they're asking about, but they might tell them some things they might not want to hear. And both at the end of that conversation still have to agree that our focus is to win. And because we talked about it, we're going to either deal with it or we're going to bury it. But either way, we got to choose to move forward. Why? Because there is a game that needs to be played and victory that we need to obtain. So the second quality of a great team is communication. And the third quality and the last quality of a great team, there's a lot of them, but in reference to this scripture. So we have unity, communication, but another great quality, if a team is going to win, they have to have effective planning. The third quality of an important team is effective planning. Listen to what he said. If as one people speaking the same language, they have begun to do this, then nothing they plan to do will be impossible for them. Now, a plan describes a common goal and points everyone in the right direction. Most people who never really get ahead in life are people who simply don't have a working plan in place. Are you hearing me? Listen. Jesus set us free. Jesus gave us freedom. Jesus, listen to me, opened my eyes to a world that was not seen before. Because where I came from, I had bondage. I couldn't see past our neighborhood. I couldn't see past what my family taught me. But when I came into the church house, and I learned about Jesus, and I learned that all things are possible, and that I learned that he was greater, when I learned that he was the bondage breaker, when I learned that God used the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, I started to dream about the possibilities. And I think what sometimes we fail to do is I think we need to stop and dream and pen those dreams so we can post them around our house and be reminded of the inspiration God put within our lives, because God didn't call us to struggle. God didn't call us to just be a part of something small. He wants us to do great things to bring him glory. But in order for any dream to come about, there has to be effective planning. A good plan, Stanley Judd said this, a good plan is like a roadmap. It shows the final destination and usually the best way to get there. Whatever it is that God has put on your heart, listen, it's going to take planning and it's going to take people. So God wants to do something great. If your vision just entails you by yourself, I would dare to tell you that your vision isn't big enough. If the vision that you have in your heart to accomplish for God, you can do on your own, chances are it's a piece of the puzzle, but it's not the whole puzzle. Because what God wants us to do is work together. If we're individual members and we're one body, we're interconnected, then that means my success is dependent upon you and yours and mine. And if we are going to reach our full potential, it's going to take communication, it's going to take unity, it's going to take dreaming about what God could do. Are you hearing me? I want to build a culture where people were, you know, one day I see a church one day where
where we have our own offices and people are just hanging around, and I picture myself walking around these offices and just going to do whatever I have to do and seeing young men have conversations about, listen, one day I'm going to invite you to come to my church. I have visions of people having a conversation about, man, how are we going to build this 5-star children's ministry? I see visions of people working on music when it's not even worship practice. I see people dreaming about what could be, conversating about what could be. But before we can dream, we have to know that those dreams can become a reality. Whatever God puts in your heart, listen, in this season, I challenge you to step out and do it. Coach Wayne, I bet you when you had that in your heart, that had never been done here before. I looked. I remember I wanted to be a part of a Christian football team, and it just so happened we hired somebody to do some yard work, and they had a son their age, and I remember thinking, how old's your son? It was the same age as Joey, and they said, you should come check it out, and I was amazed, right? And I went to this football organization. I was shocked. They had Christ on their jersey. They prayed at the end of service. I mean, at the end of the football practice. And I said, I want to be a part of that. Not that long ago, I remember I prayed for you that morning. And God put it on my heart. And I think I texted you and I told you, I am grateful that you stepped out. Listen, my kids have a love of the game, but you know what I'm more grateful for? Not that they love football. They're learning responsibility, accountability, and hard work. That took vision. That took planning. That took faith. If you're going to accomplish the goal and the task that God put, that God has for you, it's going to take faith. So again, and as I wrap up, the qualities of an effective team: unity, communication, and effective planning. I end with this, and I feel like this is for our church, because church, we've been on a roller coaster. We can make plans all day long, but if there isn't follow through, the plan means absolutely nothing. Are you hearing me? Effective planning takes foresight, delegation, and follow through. Foresight is the ability to see our plan for what might happen in the future. Delegation is the assignment or giving over a part of the responsibility to someone else. And follow through, listen to me, is the obligation and accountability to make something happen. The reason I felt led to speak to this group this morning about this is because, listen, the goal hasn't changed. We still want to build a church that is a Holy Ghost hospital where people can come in and experience the love of God, be delivered, set free, and their world opened up to what God can do within their life. As I was praying this week, the Lord was reminding me, Eric, you got to get back to giving clear direction. And if you're a part of this team, if your ambition is to advance the kingdom of God, I want to challenge you. Cultivate unity. Learn to communicate how you really feel. And let's follow through on whatever it is that God has placed on our hearts. See, my prayer is that we learn to cultivate unity in our everyday relationships. I pray that we learn to communicate honestly and that we learn to think ahead. I believe that God wants to build this church, but in order for this church to grow, we have to build a place where people feel secure, and that's only going to happen when people are united in purpose. What is our purpose? We want to reach the unchurched. We want to help people develop a closer relationship with God, and we want to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. If we're going to build God's church, we have to make sure that we develop and deepen our relationships with one another, and we got to deepen our communication with each other. If we're going to build God's church, we got to keep our eyes on Jesus and make sure he's the center of everything that we do.
If you serve in the children's ministry, the center is still Jesus, because we're not babysitting, we're kingdom building. If you serve on the usher team, your smile says more about the love of God than any word you can preach. How many know it's time? This morning, as we all stand, we're stronger together. We're stronger when we're united. We're stronger when we're communicating. And we're stronger when we're willing to walk together. I end with this story. In the Midwest, they had an event called a horse pool, which usually takes place at the county fairs. And the horse pool is an event where various horses compete to see which ones can pull a sled with the greatest amount of weight. One year, the champion horse pulled 4,500 pounds. The runner-up had pulled 4,400 pounds. Some of the people that were there started wondering, what would happen if we put these two horses together and had them yoked to pull the sled? When they yoked them up and they had them pull, to their amazement, they were able to pull over 12,000 pounds together. Why? Because they were stronger together. We're not meant to walk through this alone. We're called to walk through this together. The destination's the same. I mean, no, we're trying to get to heaven. We're trying to stand before the pearly gates one day and hear those words, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." This area, this county needs a church of committed believers that will pray for them, love on them, and teach them that their past doesn't mark who they are, that there is a God that is able to restore, renew, revive, and make whole, and His name is Jesus. This morning, with every head bowed and every eye closed,